Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Wizards, Warriors, and Words, a fantasy writing advice podcast. My name is Jed Hearn, author of Fires of the Dead, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, starting with Rob J. Hayes.
Hi, I'm Rob Hayes, author of, we'll go with the Heroic Age trilogy, which is the Mortal Technics box set.
Michael R. Fletcher.
Michael R. Fletcher, author of some books. I didn't write this one, but I'm reading it right now, and I do kind of wish I did write it. Shadows of Ivory, Taya Greylock, fucking awesome, so good.
Epic. And Dirk Ashton.
I am Dirk Ashton. And no matter what Mike might say, and I am the author of the Paternus trilogy.
We are joined today by a very special guest, Peter McLean. Peter, welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Peter McLean. I'm author of the War for the Rose Throne series, starting with Priest of Bones. You can see that. Priest of Lies. And Priest of Gallows, which the series will conclude this August with Priest of Crowns, which unfortunately I don't have a copy of yet, but then nor is anybody else.
Nice. Has that book finished writing? Is that off to the editors? Where's that at?
It's just gone through proofreads, so it's ready to go to press, but supply chain problems are hammering all across the publishing industry at the moment. Yeah.
I'll make a few calls out in April, but
yeah, do that. Get on a Jeff for me.
So today we're going to do a game show episode where we go through various pet peeves that some of you have submitted for the show, and we will get points when we identify how we used those pet peeves in our books or in one of the other host books. But
found a new pet peeve. It's hosts with hiccups.
Yes, the hiccups have been very bad today. Apologies in advance to our listeners. It's all Mike's fault. No context needed. But before we get into the episode, I do want to thank 4 new patrons that we have. Those new patrons are Adam, Jared, Tanaya, and Matt. Thank you so much for helping support our show. If you want to become an awesome patron like one of those 4 people, all you have to do is head to patreon.com/ Wizards, Warriors, Words. The link will be down in the show notes. There will not be hiccups in the link down below, so it'll be much easier to access. We've got some cool stuff coming up for the patron soon. We're going to do some exclusive patron-only episodes. It's not going to interrupt our usual weekly episodes, but it's going to be just an extra bit of bonus content for our patrons to thank you for supporting the show. It's because of you that we've been able to upgrade our microphones, pay for the Zoom subscription we use to record this show, and continue this podcast. So, Rob, do you want to kick us off with the?
Yeah, can do. I just want to point out first off, this is people's pet peeves. If you've done any of these, this doesn't mean you're a bad writer. This is just things that certain people just find annoying. Okay.
Yeah,
Yes.
Right, words, so. Dragons.
Words about
words. Words, yeah. No, okay. So the first and the pet peeve that most people told me about. Does anybody have love triangles in their any of their books?
Not me. I didn't get one.
Wow, we escaped. Yes.
Nobody? Well, I'm going to buzz in straight away and say, okay. Fletcher, what? You do.
Well, fuck off. Oh, shit, I do. Yeah. I wish I paid more attention to my books.
Henka and the mercenary woman whose name I can't remember.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
There we go.
One for me.
Blackstone Heart.
Black.
Nice. All right. That's
not you, Peter.
Let me write down
triangles.
Let me write down points.
No, I don't think so. Not that I can think of. No.
Like, not even like the main character, a woman and his sword.
That's good. That's
no, good. I don't think anybody could accuse me of writing much in the way of romance for my main character. Really.
Okay. Okay. Well, it looks like a sin that most of us have dodged.
Nice. We are all excellent authors. Except for
okay,
Mike.
we'll go with another one, shall we? Flashbacks.
Oh yes, guilty of that one. Well. Definitely. Yeah,
definitely there.
That's Would anybody a like peeve? To?
Who went first?
Explain.
Who went first? I think Peter. Did you go first?
Yeah, I think I probably did. So my main character, Thomas Piercy, is a war veteran suffering heavily from PTSD. So flashbacks to his experiences in the war do happen quite frequently, usually in the middle of a fight when he starts flipping out. So, I do use that one quite a lot. But I think I'll get a pass for that, personally.
No, that's 1 point to you, Peter. I don't know what these points are for, but it's fun writing them down.
Yeah, I've got flashbacks. Rob, you've got flashbacks?
I've got flashbacks.
Yeah.
Is anyone Jed? Have flashbacks?
Jed, do you have flashbacks?
I'm sure I do. I just can't remember. Yeah, actually, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And Across
okay,
the
so
Stars
we all get
also
that
have
one.
A war veteran.
Yeah,
with lots
we
of
are literally all guilty of flashbacks.
Okay,
I'm,
but
I'm
going to
start keeping score
went
here.
I've got a little table written down here.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, you got it? You're doing it?
Okay, I'm on it. So basically how it works is the first person to buzz in and say what their pet peeve was in and how it was shown in their book, that's the person who gets the points. However,
yeah, but we all did it.
It's all about timing. It's all about timing. And actually, Rob gets 2 points for the first round for calling out that Fletcher had the pet peeve. Bonus points.
I would like to point out I have done a love triangle as well, but you know.
Yes.
There we go.
Okay, next one.
Okay, we'll move on. Female characters ignoring advice from men just to prove how tough and independent they are. So basically, Danny from, you know, in front. Anyone?
I don't think so.
Racking my brains. I haven't read my books for a long time. I can't remember, to be honest.
This is making me realize I just don't remember anything.
That's another
okay,
one.
Okay, well, I'll admit to this in because Eska does ignores that advice from absolutely everybody.
Eska doesn't discriminate.
Men, women, children, I don't know,
ghosts,
stones. She just hates everybody and ignores them all.
So, I mean, somebody could possibly accuse me of that, I guess, but I don't think I'd have done that.
I don't think your characters do that at all.
No, I think it's only you, Rob.
Yeah, I am very sinful. Okay. Fantasy names. You know the type, names you cannot pronounce.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, but mine are taken from actual mythology, folklore, or legend. Does that count?
I think it still does. Yeah. I think it still does. Okay.
So who's guilty of that?
Yourself
I'm keeping my own
and
score.
Fletcher. So what's the, Dirk, what is the most unpronounceable or most gibberish fantasy name that you've ever written?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh my God. How about all of them?
Surely it's like the Quizzle.
Rob, is there anyone that really tripped you up more than the rest?
Well, and yours? I don't know, because you say, like a lot of them are from actual mythology. So I kind of knew how to pronounce quite a few of them that would have otherwise tripped me up, I think.
I mean, even simple stuff like Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah, I had no clue how to say that.
Yeah. And
disgraceful.
Okay.
You can't even say it yourself, man. Come on.
No. The terror bird. There you go. That's what you need.
Yeah, that's much better.
Exactly.
Yeah. My guy, your manifestation
stuff is all German. I can't pronounce any of my characters' names. Like, how bad is that?
Yeah. Don't you narrate your audiobooks?
Yeah, it's no. Those sold. Somebody else narrated those. They sold to Trantor. I can't even remember who bought them. Some audiobook people.
I'd love to know where you actually picked your names from, because I swear I have a Hoover with Witch Tig written on it.
He does. He just grabs that stuff. Peter, are yours pretty straightforward?
Yeah, I'm guilty of the opposite, Sid. Mine are really boring, normal English names with the spelling slightly changed, like George Martin does.
Jeds are all like Jed, Rob, Mike, Peter.
Mine are all named after the rivals that I wish to surpass. No, I'm in your camp, Peter. I try to keep him pretty pronounceable, I think.
Yeah.
That's just, I prefer it. But yeah, that's...
Okay.
That's
Fletch is actually in Priest of Crowns, believe it or not. I have a... Is Michael, he? Who's a Fletcher, does make a very brief appearance.
Nice.
Being brutally murdered, no doubt.
No, I think I'll let you off, actually. Oh, I don't know why. I missed a trick there, but...
Yeah.
But Patrick, I killed Patrick off in Priest of Gallows. He was very pleased with that, bless
him. Yeah. He mentions that quite a lot, I have to say.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll move on. Next one. Character death fake-outs or resurrections?
Oh, shit.
Go on, Dirk. Admit your sin.
Yeah, well, yeah. I have several, if not more, of those.
Oh, yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Got a couple.
Definitely me. Anybody else? Just me and Mike?
Kind of.
Not, not when I kill somebody, I mean it. They're dead. You know what I mean?
They stay dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't tend to bring characters back to life, but I have done the odd character death fake out, you know, end a scene or a book with a character dying, and then next book they turn up alive.
That's only because you that's only because you forgot that you wrote that they died.
Called out.
No, funnily enough, actually, one of my characters dies at the end of Along the Razor's Edge, and he was going to just stay dead. But then when I was writing book two, I decided that book was shit and I needed to change it. So I rewrote book two and decided that character was actually still alive.
And he's really good in it as well, because I think that book wouldn't have functioned without that character coming back. So that was a good choice. Do you reckon it counts as a fake out if you're like cutting away from a chapter in a situation that leaves the characters looking as if they're in certain doom? Or do you think that's just a cliffhanger?
That's just a cliffhanger.
Okay. I escaped.
Does it count if you meant to kill off some characters when you were writing the book and then ended up not? And they ended up being the main characters.
Okay. I don't think so.
I did a lot of that.
Okay, so the next pet peeve is one submitted by somebody called Peter McLean. No. Anyway,
never heard of him.
Firing arrows. Would you like to explain this one?
Yeah, defend yourself.
Yes,
Peter.
I would. For all that he's one of my favorite authors, Joe Abercrombie is so guilty of this. People are firing bows left, right, and center. Yeah. You didn't fire a bow. They hadn't invented the term until gunpowder. You loose an arrow. And it just, I don't know why it pisses me off, but it really does every time I see a reference to firing
a bow or firing arrows. Shoot an arrow?
Oh, I got into this debate because it's on.
I saw this on Twitter.
I need to get out more, basically. I got into this debate with somebody online. I think we came to the consensus you can, but probably only a crossbow. Your longbow type of thing, you definitely loose.
Okay.
Because, I mean, a crossbow's still got a trigger, so it's like it's just shooting action kind of thing.
I just have my characters twang them.
No one's twang down right again.
Oh, shit, chaotic. I just found a new pet peeve.
Peter twanged his bow.
Oh.
Imagine that for guns, though. Rob twanged his gun.
No,
that doesn't work.
That sounds like a personal issue.
It does. It'd be banged. Rob banged.
Nice.
I like that, Mike. I like that. Okay, yeah, well, Peter gets a solid point for that. Well done.
just for coming up with it. I don't know.
I don't think I think I've ever had anyone fire a bow in my books.
Yeah, I've had people shoot bows, I think, but I don't think fire.
So they just shoot another bow out of their bow. Is that how it works?
Fuck off.
Well, when you shoot your gun, you don't actually shoot the gun, you shoot the bullet, right?
Imagine how scary that would be if when you shot a gun, another gun flew out of the barrel and it whacked into people.
Yeah.
Are you saying you fire the gun but shoot the bullet?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Nobody knows.
Words of chaos. I think that's what we're taking away from this episode. All right, Rob, what's the next one?
Okay, this is a good one. I'm just going to admit I'm guilty as hell of this one. Releasing a breath they didn't know they were holding.
Oh, absolutely. Every second chapter.
My character suddenly realizing they hadn't been breathing. Yeah,
That's right.
I think we'll just tag this one on as well. Smiles that don't reach characters' eyes.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna have to confess to that one.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. I think it's one of those. It's a pet peeve, but like I think most authors use it, especially in fantasy.
It just works. It conveys inauthenticity so well, and that's why it's a cliche.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we'll just go. We're all guilty of that.
Yeah. Pretty much everyone's got that one.
I did that in book one and never did it after that.
Really?
Only you had the discipline one. To stop.
Just in book one.
Now I'm going to have to reread.
But I did it like three times. Yes. Same character, but three times.
Did they like collapse from the lack of oxygen?
No, not holding the breath. The smile that doesn't reach the eyes.
I see. That's a bit easier to do.
Yeah.
Bro, what's
it? I did that probably in each book, the holding the breath thing.
That's right. And you get to the third book and one of the characters realizes they've been holding a breath since book one.
Yeah. Yeah, but my characters are pretty, you know, they can hold their breath a long time.
Benefits of being a mythological figure. All right, Rob, move us on.
Okay, so the next one, we'll go with broody, angsty teens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they... Better sure. not yeah. read. They better not read half teenager, the books though. Published.
It's amazing how many of these pet peeves you just look at and you're like, but that's like everything.
You're like, that's a genre. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty much a point for.
That's like saying everyone. My pet peeve is fantasy. I don't read that shit.
Yeah.
My pet peeve is stories about things that didn't happen.
Yeah.
AKA stories.
Fiction. I hate fiction.
I hate fiction.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I have had a review which basically accused one of my books of being a lie.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
You're like,
none
so
of this
did
really
my...
happened. It's all fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we need to start putting that. We need to start putting that disclaimer at the front of our books, which is like, this story was based on true events. Only the events have changed.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Rob, before we go to the next one, real quick. Ooh. We haven't done this for ages. Book of the week. Peter, tell us about your first book because we never actually got that much context. Just for readers who aren't
my first book, Priest of Bones, is a gangster story. Mostly, it is a gangster action thriller dressed up as a fantasy novel in a sort of quasi-Tudor, semi-historical setting, apart from the bits I made up because research looks hard. But... Yeah, so it's a first-person narrative, tells the story of a man called Thomas Piety.
Great name.
At the start of the book, is just returning from war. I'll give you a rough flavor. Let me read you the first few lines.
Okay.
After the war, we came home. 65,000 battle-shocked, trained killers came home to no jobs, no food, and the plague. What the fuck did Her Majesty think was going to happen?
Nice.
Gives you a fair flavor awesome. For the narrative voice awesome. Throughout, really.
Yeah, and that's the moment when Scorsese just drops like "Give Me Shelter" by the Rolling Stones in there. And
pretty much. Exactly that. <yeah. laughs>
That is epic. Awesome. We'll dig into that in future episodes because we'll have you on for a few. But yeah, that's awesome. That is Priest of Gallows.
That's the first one. Priest of Bones.
Priest
Gallows.
Sorry, Priest of Bones. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. Gallows is the third in the third quartet. Book. This is the trilogy of four books that I wrote.
Yeah. One of those trilogies of four.
have that debate with my editor one day. But so,
Hey, if it worked for Martin, I'm sure it can work for you.
The fifth book will be Priest of Penguins.
Yes, I suppose that would be the surrealism edition, definitely.
Nice. All right. And
that leads us on to one of the pet peeves, which I'm guessing you're not going to be guilty of, which is people waiting 5 or 6 years for the next book in the series.
Whoa, come on, that's not fair.
No guilty of that one.
Mike, go on, Fletcher.
You get like 20 points for this.
Too fast, Fletcher.
Fuckers.
Honestly, this wasn't actually targeted at Fletcher, but, you know, it fit.
I think it was targeted at a more indie author who is called George or something like that. But apparently it's hidden Mike as well. Epic.
Anyway. So the next one, characters looking in a mirror or a mirrored surface to describe themselves.
Surely Michael Fletcher. Didn't you have a book that was like looking at mirrors every paragraph?
That's not the problem though. My very first book, Ghosts of Tomorrow. I literally didn't know any better. Was like, I need to describe this guy and he's by himself. How do I do it? Oh, look, there's a mirror.
Easy.
And I think I did it twice in the same book and my editor was like, no. She let me have the first one, but was like, fuck off. You got to kill the second one.
I'm definitely guilty of that. I did it in the first book fairly early on because I was trying to throw as many tropes from that kind of YA sort of thing in as possible. But then I did it again later in the book in a pool of water.
See, that's cool. I like a pool of water reflection.
With a hairy little firstborn.
I mean, you say that, but I literally listened to a book like a few weeks ago where a character was staring into a pool, remembering the man they used to be while tugging on their own chest hair for some reason.
What? I was with you until the chest hair part.
Yeah.
Who doesn't stare into a pool and tug their own chest hair?
Rob, that was Mike Fletcher. That wasn't in a book.
No. Fletcher was not guilty of that one.
That was just a win.
Yes, he is. No,
it wasn't you mean his that book. Was actually Fletcher.
It wasn't his book. That was actually him. Yeah.
That's his writing routine, how he sacks himself up for a solid session. Just checking you got hair down there, Mike.
Oh, there's you can get a good handful.
Nice. I have basically no chest hair, so it must be very nice, everybody out there who can perform this act of self-reflection.
Puberty will take care of that. Don't worry, Jed.
Just walk right into that one. Well played.
Jed actually reached 13 years old the other day.
A big milestone. Yeah. A big milestone. That's right. Yeah. Soon I might be able to walk.
Yeah, can't joke about him being 12 anymore.
What's our next one, Robbie?
This next one is actually one of mine. Somebody else mentioned it as well on Twitter, but this one's definitely one of mine. Oldie worldy speak. People saying thee and thou and though and all of that bullshit.
Yeah, they always get it wrong as well. I'll let people off doing that if they exactly get it right, but that virtually never happens.
Rob, art thou notest a fan of thine technique?
I hate it. I hate it when people like that, and people when they sound like they're in a fantasy novel, like they know they're in a fantasy novel. They're like, oh, the malignancy of this swamp is really, hindering our approach. And you're like, oh, fuck off.
To be fair, that is funny when it's one character that speaks like that. And then you have another character who comes along and just like tells them to jump in a
light. But if like everybody speaks funny, that way.
It's funny when it's in The Princess Bride.
Kind of takes the piss out of it.
I have one character who talks like that sometimes, but only when he's reciting something from the past or something applies to his own past life, where he would have actually spoken.
He has been sentenced to prison for his crimes against literature.
Yeah. Dirk Ashton. Edgar talks like that sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Yeah, it works in his case. It works in his case. All right, I reckon,
but
Rob,
not very often.
We go for another four pet peeves and then start to wrap this up.
Okay. Well, we'll aim this one at Dirk. Chosen ones.
Hey. Dirk gets all the points.
Not necessarily a foretold chosen one, but yeah, I guess. Who would kind of be in kind of work around it, but yeah, I'm guilty.
Anyone else?
But I love that stuff. There's so many books and movies that I have to admit that I love that have that shit in it. You know, so many of them.
I think I like Chosen One stories where it's like a case of it really profoundly messing up the main character. Like one of the reasons why I enjoyed the second Dune book so much is because the first Dune book is sort of like, Paul is the chosen one. And then the second book is like, Paul is the chosen one. He didn't get a choice. And it actually unravels that in a really, really fascinating and kind of disturbing way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the whole thing with Dune, he is the chosen one, but you know, it's kind of what side of the fence does the chosen one actually sort of land on in some ways. It's the same with Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars. He's the chosen one, but he was actually chosen to destroy the Jedi Order, not save them.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, we've got a couple more ones, Rob.
Couple more. Okay. there's a good one. Overuse of food. Basically, you know, those like the fantasy stories where people spend ages describing every bit of food.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I actually did do I get negative points? Because I did the opposite of this in Across the Broken Stars, where I just didn't want to have to deal with food because the characters had to travel across different, like, sort of floating discs in space. And so I just invented this fungus-based food thing where basically you could just eat this fungus and it would give you all of your dietary requirements. And as a result, you just don't need to have, like, any annoying scenes of characters, like, preparing food or having to stop at places.
Sounds genius. Pretty much. Yeah. Lembas bread. Potatoes.
Potatoes. I must admit, I've never had over description of food. I quite often just forget that characters need to eat.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm guilty of that. I had an edit note in in Crowns from Joe Fletcher. It says, does this man never eat? So like, fuck, not in the last 10 chapters. Apparently not.
I feel like that's one of the areas where...
Another one of the pet peeves that I didn't actually include because I just figured, what the hell. But there's a lot of people who seem to get really annoyed that characters don't go to the toilet.
I was just going to say that.
Who needs that kind of detail?
But I also see complaints where, why do we have to know that characters went to the toilet? Same thing, you know, opposite.
That is actually...
Why do we have to know that?
To be fair, that is a pet peeve I've had with Harry Potter. Because if you think about it, right? They all sleep in the dormitories. The dormitories are never described to have bathrooms in them at any stage. So what, when someone needs to...
Well, yes, they are.
No, they don't. There's like no scene
doesn't
where...
Doesn't that ghost girl
basically
live in a
separate
bathroom?
Area of the castle? That's in the separate area of the castle. So in order to get there, you would have to like leave the tower that you're sleeping in, cross through the castle at night, and then go to the bathroom. So it'd be like a 20-minute walk.
No, they all just have a chamber pot. Chamber pot.
That's the Harry Potter.
It's not
movie.
Meant to be a.
It is called Harry Potter.
The habits of Harry Potter.
I just always found it weird.
Chamber pot.
That's all. Harry Potter in the secret chamber pot.
Yeah. don't tempt him, man.
Sequels, here we come. All right, let's go. Two more, Rob. Two more.
Okay, so we have hidden royal bloodlines.
Can't say
it's
I have.
Kind of normal. I got one.
Yeah.
I mean,
who is it?
Definitely. But I
oh, is it spoilers?
I okay. I'm trying to think through Paternus and I can't even remember now.
I don't care about spoilers, actually.
Fuck you, reader.
Zeke has a royal bloodline.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Okay. I must admit, I've never done it.
Prince.
I am sinless.
Prince Tent Peg.
Okay, last one. This is a big one. A lot of people voted for this one. Dragons.
Haven't done it.
Yeah.
Yet.
Oh yeah, we got dragons in like two different series, three different series. Holy shit! Yeah, three different worlds.
Yeah.
All have dragons.
No. Again, that's like saying, you know, fantasy. I just don't like fantasy.
Yeah.
That's like saying magic. I don't like magic. it's just pointless.
But some people don't, though. Some people like
it's not, point, it's not pointless. It's simply not a pet peeve. It's not a pet peeve. It's just a preference.
Well, for no, it's a, some people.
It's a preference for types. It's a preference for types of books. I wouldn't call that a pet peeve.
So, but has anybody here not used dragons?
I have not.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any dragons. No, I don't have hardly any magic in my books at all. Actually, a little bit, but not a lot.
I seem to remember you have a child making somebody explode.
I do have that element of magic.
Their mind.
Yes. Yes.
That's not magic. That's just a talented kid.
But it's not a dragon. It's just
it's not a dragon, though.
Really,
but it is
creepy
magic.
Kid.
No, it's sci-fi. He's just a scanner.
Awesome. Was that our last one, Rob?
Yeah, well, there's plenty more, but we'll call that last.
We'll call it that. We may, I don't know, who knows? We might do a round two in the future. Thank you, everybody, for sending in your pet peeves. Really
yeah,
appreciate
those. Great.
Yeah, this
who
was
won?
A cool episode. The
or
winner
lost.
Was, I kind of stopped keeping score for a couple of rounds, so I don't know how accurate this is, but the winner, totally verifiable, is Dirk Ashton. Congratulations, good sir.
So basically, I'm the loser.
Yes.
Yeah. I think the winner was either you or Peter.
I think I only put down 2 points for me and 4 points for Peter. So nice job, mate.
So in other words,
Jed doesn't write fantasy.
That's right. I actually write a totally different genre.
He's keeping score, so he's cheating.
Yeah.
There'll be no accusations of bias on this particular committee. Thank you very much. No, thank you, everybody, for listening or watching to this episode. If you want to help support the podcast, feel free to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardswarriorswords. Link down below. Like I mentioned before, we're going to be doing a couple of bonus episodes on Patreon at some stage. Peter, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks for the invite. It's been fun.
Fantastic. All
thanks,
right.
Peter.
See you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, y'all.
Cheers, guys. See you later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.